God said, amen. 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 Let's just give our mothers another round of applause. Happy Mother's Day again to all of our mothers. Why don't y'all just stand real quick, moms, and take a bow? If you don't mind, all mothers, just please stand real quick and take a bow. Amen. 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 If you can't stand, you can just bow your head. Let's give them a hand. Amen. We applaud you. We celebrate you. We honor you on this day. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you so much for our mothers, for our mothers. Well, there is a word from the Lord, and it's found in Exodus chapter 2. We'll peel away from Ephesians for this week. Special Mother's Day message that God had placed in my spirit. Exodus chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 1 through 10 of Exodus chapter 2. Verses 1 through 10, when you have it, say agape. Amen. Amen. Hear ye the word of the Lord, Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and the scriptures read as such. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. Verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And from this passage of scripture this morning, we want to use as a subject, it's time to have some babies. I thought about asking you, I'm going to go ahead and ask you all to look at the person on your left and say, "It's time." come on, say, "It's time." Tell them it's time to have some babies. Boy, y'all shaking y'all heads, said, "Pastor, I ain't with you on that." Amen, amen, amen. Boy, y'all cold. Listen at this. The Pew Research Center, dealing with religion and public life. This article was "The Future of World Religions, Population Growth Projections Between 2010 and 2050. It says this: the religious profile of the world is rapidly changing, driven primarily by differences in fertility rates and the size of youth populations among the world's major religions, as well as by people switching faith. Listen at this. Over the next 4 decades, Christians will remain the largest religious group, but Islam will grow faster than any other major religion if current trends continue by 2050. It says this: the number of Muslims will nearly equal the number of Christians around the world. talking about having babies. The global Buddhist population will be about the same size it was in 2010, while the Hindu and Jewish populations will be larger than they are today. In Europe, Muslims will make up 10% of the overall population. Right now, in London, they've elected their first Muslim mayor. If you're paying attention to the news, first time in human history that they have elected a Muslim mayor in London. 10% in Europe, Muslims will make up 10% of the overall population. India will retain a Hindu majority, but also will have the largest Muslim population of any country in the world, surpassing even Indonesia. In the United States of America, Christians will decline from more than 3/4 of the population in 2010 to 2/3 in 2050. A decline. Christians will decline from more than 3/4 of the population in 2010 to 2/3 in 2050. And Judaism will no longer be the largest non-Christian religion. Muslims will be more numerous in the United States than people who identify as Jewish on the basis of religion. And this will all take place. This will all happen simply because these religions, Hindus, Muslims, all of these other religions are choosing to have babies. While the Christians have decided that we don't want to have babies. It's time to have some babies. Amen. The background of this passage, if you look at chapter 1 from verses 6 through verse 22 of chapter 1, we realize that God was in the process of fulfilling his promise to Abraham. God promised Abraham back in the book of Genesis that he would make him a great nation, that he would multiply his descendants, multiply his seed. And while the children of Israel were in Egypt, God began fulfilling his promise. The scriptures tells us in the first chapter that they began increasing in number by the grove. Look back in chapter 1, if you would, at verse 6. At verse 6 of chapter 1, it says, "And Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation died with him. But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them." Y'all, they were having babies. But then verse 8 says that a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And they made their lives bitter, and they made their lives hard, increasing the workload of God's children. But yet they continue to have babies. And then look at verse 15 of Exodus chapter 1. It says, "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other was named Puah. And he said, 'When you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live.'" Listen, because they were growing in numbers in such a great move, God was doing a multiplying, fulfilling his promise. Pharaoh had a problem with it, but they continued to have children. They continued to have babies. And this is the setting in which this text has been given to us. And you and I need to understand that the world that we live in right now, there is an enemy, and it's Satan, and he's behind the scene working his evil plan. And God has already promised us some things that he will fulfill in time. And the closer that we get to God fulfilling his promises toward us, you best believe that the enemy will increase his attacks on the people of God. And one way that he has increased his attacks on the people of God is in childbearing, in having babies. But what I love about this passage of scripture is that even in the midst of all of this, God's children continue to have babies. Continue to have babies. Here it is. Here it is. Number one. As it relates to this having babies thing, because I don't want anybody to be confused about this. Number one, God's plan for having babies is in the context of biblical marriage. Amen. 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 God's plan for having babies is in the context of what? Biblical marriage. Biblical marriage. Back in chapter 2, look at verse 1. The scripture reads, it says, now a man. Is that confusing to anybody? It says, now a man from the house of Levi went and married a woman from Levi. That's crystal clear. Amen. God's context for childbearing is between one man and one woman. Amen. There ain't no way you can get a baby by two men being together. There ain't no way you can get a baby by two women being together. One man, one woman. Amen. Married in holy matrimony is how children come. Not gonna come no other way. No other way. Now listen, many people talk about unexpected births. Let me just say a little bit about that. If you really think about it, the only unexpected birth on planet Earth was Mary. Amen. Now there wasn't no man involved in that. Of the Holy Ghost. And God's plan for having babies is in the context of marriage. And we've got to remember that. It's not going to happen no other way. And I don't care what laws are being written. God's word never changes. It's settled. It's settled in heaven. One man and one woman to the glory of God. Listen, Genesis 1, 27, 28 says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Fruitful and multiply. Y'all listen. I am so excited about the babies that are being born here at Agape Christian Church. I'm so excited about that. Amen. Y'all to clap for that. Come on. We've had some babies, y'all. That's why Wilbur and Donna's already putting together this baby mass baby blessing deal that we have here, because God is adding. There's multiplication going on in Agape. Ah, hallelujah. And listen. He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Amen. And for you all that are still in that season, stay down. Stay right there. Amen. Be fruitful and multiply. And then here's the other piece. He married a woman from the tribe of Levi. This man. And can I just be real with you all? Listen, there is a shortage of godly men in the Lord's church. There's a shortage of godly men in the Lord's church. And brothers, this is for you all, brothers. Here's our responsibility, brothers. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And here's our responsibility. We understand that there's a problem in the church, and we've got sisters in the church who are looking for a good godly man. Amen, sisters. Amen. They don't have no shame in your game. Say amen, sisters. Thank you. Listen, they're looking for godly men. And brothers, you know what our responsibility is? To go get them rascals. Amen. That's our responsibility, is to go get them, to begin making disciples of these men. Amen. So that our women can marry godly, game-changing men. Amen. That's our responsibility, brothers. That's our responsibility. And even for our young men, is to raise our young men up so that they understand what it means to follow God and to have a heart for God. That's our responsibility. Listen, they were from the same tribe. That's big. Don't miss that. They were from the same tribe, and I'm going somewhere with that. Listen, they did not marry outside of their clan. And here it is. Here it is for all of us, those of us that are here, brothers and sisters that are single. If they ain't saved, they are not for you. Period. Amen. Amen. They didn't go outside. They married within their clan. That has nothing to do with race. Has nothing to do with color. But it has something to do about being under the blood of Jesus Christ. If they don't know Jesus, they are not for you. Boo. Amen. And listen. If they say they know Jesus, here it is. If they say they know Jesus, for my sisters, if they say they know Jesus, bring that joker to the church. Bring him. Let him meet the elders. Let him talk to Elder Broadnex and Elder Robinson and Elder Napier and Elder Walker, Elder Johnson. Let him talk to Elder Wood. Bring that rascal in here. Let him meet the deacons. Amen. That's what you want to do. And brothers, for my brothers that are out there looking, if you feel like she's the one and she's saved, bring it and let them sisters wear her out. Let them check her out. Amen. No, we're not having that up in here. This is agape. We roll deep. Look, this is our responsibility. This is our Christians need to marry. Listen, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 6, do not be unequally yoked. Do not be unequally yoked is what Paul says. You got to understand that whole yoke thing. If those oxen were unequally yoked, if one ox was stronger than the other ox, then what that would do is mess up the whole process of trying to plant and trying to build and trying to grow things. It would mess up the whole process when you're unequally yoked. And that's what happens when you marry an unbeliever. You're trying to work together. You're trying to do things together, but it's unequal. And you've got all kinds of problems. You're just tearing stuff up because you're unequally yoked. Bring them up in here. Let us check them out. Amen. Listen. Hear me well. This is big. Married Christians, those that are married, that are saints of God, Christians that for whatever reason can't have children should seriously consider adopting. Those believers that are married couples in Christ Jesus who for whatever reason cannot have children, you should seriously consider adopting. Listen, non-Christians are adopting so many children out of the system. Oh, yes. This civil union stuff, these women and men and men, they're adopting children out of the system. Lost folks are adopting children out of the system. And you know what happens? They raise them under their own beliefs. And I just believe in my heart, that those that can't have children for whatever reason should really consider adopting. Really consider adopting. And y'all, the system is corrupt. I know this. This system is corrupt. And James told us in James 1, he says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans. It's part of our responsibility. And I just believe that. But God's design for having babies is in the context of biblical marriage. Amen. Number two. Hard times shouldn't hinder us from having babies. Hard times should not hinder us from having babies. Back in verse 15 of chapter 1, we found out that the king of Egypt spoke to the midwives, the Hebrew midwives, and Shiphrah and Puah, and he told them, when you're helping these women to give birth upon the birth stool, if it's a boy, then you shall put him to death. You shall put him to death. Y'all hear that? Y'all see that? And then look at verse 22. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. Listen, hard times should not keep us from having babies. Listen, if there was a time not to have a baby, if there was ever a time for a couple to make a decision to not have a baby, it was during this time. They were killing the boys. So you think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. If you knew by having a baby that baby could be killed, would you still do it? That was not a good time to have a baby. But you know what? They did not let that hinder them. They continued to have children. I thought about that. I started thinking about some of the reasons we don't have kids no more. Why most people don't have babies anymore. If our grandparents and great-grandparents, they had so many reasons not to have babies. Amen. And many of us know that we've come from forefathers. They didn't just have one. They didn't just have two. They didn't just have three. They didn't just have four. They didn't just have five, six, seven. Somebody know what I'm talking about? They were being fruitful and they were multiplying. And here's what's crazy about it. They had so much less than we did, than we do. So much less. And yet they had babies. And them babies ate good. Those babies were healthy. Amen. They were productive. Unless, and y'all, we got it all. We got it all. You know, that hailstorm was horrible. And our prayers go out to all who were affected by that hailstorm. But I believe God spoke loud and clear to some folks that have garages, and those cars can't get in those garages. Because of the overflow. And God, we've got so much. And we make the decision. We make that own decision that I can only have these amount of kids because it may affect what I want to do. That's the reality of it. Amen. That's really the reality of it. We talk about financial difficulties or fear that I won't be able to provide for this baby. I can't have no more because I may not be able to provide. Listen, you know, I believe the real issue is just selfishness. Because our forefathers had less, a whole lot less, and they had a whole lot more babies. It's time to have some babies. Amen, y'all. Y'all still with me? Listen, many people say I'm done because of my age. See, I'm learning, I gotta be patient with y'all. Because of their age, many will not have children because of their age. But y'all read y'all's Bible, don't y'all? Y'all know about Sarah and Abraham, right? We used to say age ain't nothing but a number. Amen. Many people have reason. But here's one. And I really want y'all to hear my heart. We understand that marriage is in the context of marriage. God's way of baby having children is in the context of marriage. We understand, however, that sometimes it's not always the case. And sometimes people have babies. They get pregnant, but they refuse to have that baby because of shame. Because of shame. And Lord just really put it in my spirit, the church needs to repent for how we've handled these young ladies who became pregnant. I can only imagine the shame that they already have, but then to come to the church and then have to deal with religion and all of the stuff that goes with that, I can only imagine how the young lady would feel standing in front of a church, because she made a decision to have a baby. And my heart's desire, agape, is that we would have the spirit of the midwives to come along those young ladies and say, we're going to help you in the process. My heart's desire, and we, like I said, God forbid that it happens, but if it does, we preach marriage, abstinence, wait until you're married. But if it does, my prayer is that we would have the spirit of the midwives and say, we're going to hug you. We're going to love on you. We're going to walk with you through this process. That's my heart's desire, that the church will not begin to cast stones and point fingers. But hard times should not hinder us from having babies. Amen. And listen, they defied the king's decree. They defied the king's command to kill these boys. They defied it, and I don't care what the laws say. We are the church of the living God, and God's word will never change. Do y'all not know? Do you not know? Let me get to my next point. I'll talk about that. Thirdly, this. Always remember that babies are a gift from God. Always remember that babies are a gift from God. Look at those precious babies. Look at that picture. Look how precious they are. Just precious. I had trouble picking, selecting these because there were so many beautiful pictures of these babies. Remember that babies are a gift from God and they are precious. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2 of chapter 2. It says, and the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. And then verse 5 and 6, it says, then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Always remember that babies are a gift from God. This woman conceived, and she took one look at her baby and saw how beautiful this baby was. Moses was a good-looking baby. Babies are precious, y'all. Babies are precious. But what the word beautiful also means is that she was able, ooh, don't miss this. She was able to see God in her child. She was able to see God in her child. And that is huge. And parents, mothers, fathers, hear me well. We've got to be able to see how beautiful our children are. We've got to be able to see God in our children. Listen, if anybody ought to believe in that child, it ought to be mama and it ought to be daddy. The world can give up on that baby, but mama and daddy will never give up on that baby. We ought to be able to see God in our children. Listen, in Luke chapter 2, when Mary and Joseph had taken Jesus to the temple, he was 12 years old, and Jesus stayed there asking questions among the religious leaders. They forgot Jesus in the temple. They left Jesus in the temple. His mama and daddy left him, and went all the way back to their hometown and realized that they had left Jesus. Now, I always ask, how in the world do you lose Jesus? But they left Jesus, but he was in the temple asking questions. And they journeyed all the way back to Jerusalem. And the Bible says that they found him in the temple. And Mary, the mother Mary spoke out. She was the outspoken. She spoke out and said, boy, what are you doing? We've looked all over. We've traveled 65 miles by foot back to home and then come all the way back. What's wrong with you, Jesus? I'm paraphrasing, but I bet that's what it was. What's wrong with you, boy? And Jesus, yo, he was smooth. Jesus says, why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? And I bet Mary looked at Joseph and said, if you don't get him. But here's my point. They did not recognize the God in their son. And parents, it is our job, it is our duty to see the God in our children and to cultivate their walk with him. Amen. To cultivate that walk with him so that they become all that he wants them to become. So that they become all that he wants them to become. And we've heard that old saying that life begins in the womb. Can I tell y'all the reality? Life begins before the womb. Do y'all hear me? Life begins before the womb. I'm going to show you in the scripture. Jeremiah 1:5 says this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. Look, God knew what he wanted to do with Jeremiah, and God knew what he wanted to do with Moses. He had a plan for their lives even before they were conceived in their mother's womb. Oh, a couple of weeks ago, I said something that kind of messed some people up. Some people caught it, but some of y'all wrestled with it. Here's what I said. I said, God is waiting to experience what he already knows. Ooh. God already knows the plans that he has for our children. He's waiting to experience that. Isn't that awesome? And y'all, listen. How about this? This is where we can get involved in it. Why don't we help give God the experience that he's looking for? By raising our children the way they need to be raised, by pouring Jesus into them. Let's give God the experience that he's already looking for. He's waiting to experience what he already knows. And we were already in the mind of God before conception. And that is critical. Critical. And our children are special before God. And we must always see something special in our child. But verse 5 takes this thing a little bit deeper. And I want y'all to really catch this because I've got to say something about this. Verse 5 says this. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child and behold, the boy was crying and she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Remember, babies are a gift from God. Y'all, when young ladies get pregnant now, many times the doctor will automatically give them a card to Planned Parenthood when they find out that the young lady is pregnant. They will give them automatically. The young lady don't even have to ask for it. The doctor will give them a card to Planned Parenthood. And you know what that doctor's trying to do? Here's my heart's desire is that we would really, really seek to help that young lady get to an ultrasound as soon as she can to see that baby. Pharaoh's daughter, this was the daughter of Pharaoh. Her dad had issued a decree to kill all the baby boys. But when she saw this baby, When she saw this baby, she had pity on this baby and saved that baby's life. My prayer, my heart, again, having the midwife spirit, is that we would help that young lady get to see that baby as soon as possible. We ought to support organizations, the Pregnancy Care Center, people, pro-life. That should be our heart's desire. Amen. We're the church of the living God, and if we don't rally around them, there won't be any more babies. And we'll be dealing with the issue that we see happening. All these Muslims, all this stuff that's happening. We're going to be outnumbered. Amen. Listen, children are a gift. Babies are a gift from God. Psalms 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." Children are a gift. Babies are a gift from God. Finally. Number four, we must always trust the providence and sovereignty of God with our babies. We must always trust the providence and sovereignty of God with our babies. Look at verse 3. It says this: "When she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile." Now, Moses' mother and father had an unwavering faith in Almighty God. Number one, to defy the king's edict and his decree. They had to have an unwavering faith in God. But then to put together this basket, place their child in that basket, and set that child in the Nile. They had to have some kind of faith to do that. Some serious faith. Think about that. Your baby, and place that baby in the Nile, not knowing what would become of your baby. But I believe with every fiber of my bone that they trusted that God was going to take care of that baby. And here it is, parents. There comes a time, and I don't care how old your child is. I don't care how old that child is. There comes a time where we get to a place where there's nothing else you can do. You've done all you could. You cried. You loved on them. You've given, and you've tried, and you prayed. You've done all you can. But at some point in time, we've got to get to the place where we're willing to say, here, God. And to be honest with you, that should take place the moment they come out of the womb. That's why we're having this baby blessing. And I just love my God so much. His timing is always perfect. That's why we want to have this baby dedication, because we want to dedicate all of our babies to the Lord. And listen, when you do it early on, it makes it easier later on. Do you hear me? The sooner the better. Listen, I've dedicated my babies a long time ago, and I've surrendered them to God. And my prayer has always been, God, I need you to raise these kids. I need you to raise these girls. And he gave me three girls. And I said, Lord, I need you to raise them. Now, I know this is my assignment, but God, you have to do this. This is bigger than me. And I gave them to him a long time ago. And you know what? I thank him because he's done an incredible job. There you go, Sydney. Go ahead and clap, Sydney. There you go. But when we give them to him, things can get tough. Think about it. This was a tough situation. But she had already dedicated her child to the Lord. Listen. 1 Samuel 1:20 says this: "So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him from the Lord." 1 Samuel 1:27, 28, it says, "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there." There's come a time when we can only go so far, but we've got to trust the providence and the sovereignty of God to take care of our children. And God took care of Moses in a bad environment. Think about it. He was raised in an Egyptian environment. They had false gods and all of that stuff. But the foundation was already laid. The foundation was already laid. And Moses came of age. He came of age. And guess what? He went back to his roots. He went back to his roots. Here it is, parents. Here it is, parents. Listen, always remember that we've got to lay that spiritual foundation early. Early, so that our kids would always have something. I'm so grateful for Sister Billy Perryman for laying that foundation. Amen, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. You did an incredible job dragging me off the basketball court to make me go to choir rehearsal. Thank you. Thank you for making sure that I was at church, making sure you didn't give me an option, but you told me I was going. It was so ingrained in my head that every Sunday morning I got up ready to go to church. That's not the case any longer. And parents, we need to stop that. Stop giving options. Ooh. Here's one more. I'm put this one. This is bonus. Parent, don't you ever punish your child with not coming to church. Let me explain what I'm saying. You can punish them when they mess up. You can take away the phone, you can take away the television, you can take away the computer, but don't take away church. How are you gonna punish your child and say, well, you can't go to church because you didn't do this? And I don't live in your house, but you can't think of nothing else? Anything else? Punishing them, and you're not going to church because you did this. You ought to be running them to the church. Amen? Getting them to youth ministry. Amen. But that was bonus. Let me get back. But we, this told us what kind of parents he had. Listen, parents, here it is. Make the most of your time with your babies by laying a spiritual foundation early in life. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. In verse 9, Pharaoh's daughter told Moses, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. I believe with everything in me that Moses' mother took that time and made the most of that time with her baby, poured into that baby, because she realized she was going to have to give that baby up. And so we only have them for a little while, only for a little while. And we need to pour all the Jesus we can into our children, because that time is coming when we're going to have to release them. Amen. Then we want to pray that our children fulfill God's plan for their lives. One last thing, and I'm done. This is for siblings, brothers and sisters. Anybody here, any children? And I want young people. If you're 18, no, let me raise it up. If you have siblings, if you got a brother or a sister, would you please stand? I want y'all to listen real close as you stand. I want you to listen real close. Verse 4 says this. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to them. Verse 7, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? Y'all can have a seat. To those siblings, be thankful that you have a brother or a sister. Amen. Be thankful for your siblings. If Moses' sister wasn't paying attention, if she had any bad blood towards her brother, who knows what could have become of Israel's leader? Who knows? Brothers and sisters, look out for each other. Cover each other. Whatever animosity is there, it's not that bad. Amen. Cover each other. Look out for each other. Now, I know we fight amongst each other, and that's cool sometimes. And y'all know how we get into it. It's natural. But don't stop loving each other. At the end of the day, you still love each other. Now, yeah, we can get into it, but don't let nobody else come in. You know, the Perryman family didn't play that. Didn't play that. But that siblings love each other. She looked out for her brother. Saints of God, Mary had a baby. His name was Jesus. Joseph thought to put her away. The angel spoke. As believers, followers of Jesus Christ, it's time for the saints, those in Christ, to have some babies. We're a church. We're going to love each other. We're going to care for each other. We want to be there with you, walk you through this process. I celebrate so many couples in our church that are having babies. I mean, they're having them. But it's time for the church, the living God, to continue in child. If we stop, what will become? If they stopped, what would have become? The greatest leader. Who knows who that next baby will be? Amen. It's time to have some babies. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this message. Thank you for the mothers in the house today that had babies. None of us would be here if our mothers didn't have us. And we thank you for it, God. And Lord, we just cry out. We cry out, God, for our couples. Lord, I'm grateful for those that have had babies. So many. We have twins and so many babies that are being born, God. And we just thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to lovingly come around each other. Then for those that have single mothers that have had babies, God, Father, help them to understand that they have a church family that's going to love them and become midwives to help raise those children. Men that are able to help raise those young men and those boys to become godly men. We love you so much, God. And we just say thank you for who you are and what you are doing in the life of this, your church. And then, Father, we do realize Mary had a baby, Jesus. And because of him, we can be born again. If there's somebody here today, Lord, that has never made a decision for Jesus Christ, it's my prayer that today they would be born again in Christ. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have prayer counselors that are here.